Good morning, church. Good to have you all here today. We were going to continue on with the Christmas movie theme. The top two that I did not look at would have been Christmas Vacation and Die Hard. You'll just have to come up with your own themes for those. But what we are looking at this during this month of January is to do something new. Oh, by the way, I was going to point out, too, that it's good to have our visitors back. All of our youth had been occupied in other positions for the month of December, and so I told Dylan I was going to refer to him as, it's good to have Amen Corner back over here. You golf fans will know what that means. All right. Anyway, we are looking during the month of January of do something new and kind of shooting off the thought of our New Year's resolutions that many make and things of that nature. But the whole idea is let God do something new in your life this year. You know, so many times as Christians, we're like, yep, I've been doing that for years. And has it been successful? You know, maybe you need to change it up. Maybe, you know, whatever it may be. And so we're going to look at several things as we go on. And this sermon is just kind of about preparing us for the rest of the series and looking that if God can look within himself and say, I'm going to do something new, then church, shouldn't we? Instead of just doing the same old thing. But it's kind of funny because as we're going to look at some of those old things that God did, they were pretty miraculous. And yet, so anyway, let's, if you got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 43, 15 through 21. If not, it'll be on the screen. Well, even if you've got your Bibles, and you turn there, or you don't turn there, it's still going to be on the screen. Acts 43, 15 through 21. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. We do good this year just to remember that one line. If we just remembered that one line, we would do good. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and the path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise up again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me and the jackals and the ostriches because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In the rivers in the desert to drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. Do something new. Do something new. That's what we're looking at here at first, you know, as we said, talking about New Year's resolutions. Did anyone make New Year's resolutions, or are we just done with that? Right? I mean, it's day two. Right? So do something new. Found a list of this year's most made resolutions. The top 10 anyway. So when we're looking at do something new, if you haven't come up with anything on your own, we'll at least give you some ideas. So do something new. Number 10, read more. I actually went to school with a kid by the name of Reed Moore. They always tried to get him to work in the library. No, it's true. Serious. Serious. Anyway, good guy. Number 9, travel more. I think that's his cousin. I'm not sure. But travel more. which is kind of ironic. Remember number 9, okay? And then when we get to number 6, we'll see that this is why there's a problem with our resolutions. Okay, read more, travel more, spend more time with family and friends is number 8. Number 7, quit smoking. Number 6, save more money. I don't know about you, but every time I travel, it costs more, right? So how are we supposed to save more if we are always spending more? Save more money or spend less. Number 5, live life to the fullest, right? Are you one of those people that are like 97%? We're going to just go all the way and then... Live life to the fullest. Number 4, learn a new skill or hobby. Number 3, again, doesn't that go with more money? Possibly. Number 3, get organized. Get organized. Number 2, I think number 2 and number 1 go almost hand in hand, but... Number 2 is to lose weight. And number 1, exercise more. That too is a cousin to read more and travel more, apparently. But so when we stop and we think of do something new, right? How excited are we when that happens? Right? First time parents, you take the teenager out in the car. Let them drive. Let's do something new, right? How does that work? Yeah, there's one of those insurance companies. It's got a commercial, and I love it. The dad and the son get in the car, and the dad or the son right away, you know, puts on his seatbelt, starts the car, and then, you know, throws his hand over the back of the seat, and, you know, and his dad's like, no, 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 and he puts his hand back on the steering wheel because, you know, they already got it figured out. Use your mirrors, right? You should be able to back out even if you don't have the backup camera. You shouldn't have to turn around. I was watching Columbo last night, and a guy did that. Had a little sports car, and he had his mirror here and his mirror here, and he went to back it into a garage, and he totally had to turn around and look. And I'm just like, do they not know how to use mirrors? Let's do something new this year. Right? Learn to use your mirrors. I don't know. I'm just giving out suggestions. All right? So do something new. Do something new. But it's one of those things easier said than done. Right? Do something new. But the Lord, in our text, he had reminded us that he was going to do something new. I will do something new. And so it's good for us, and the Lord does this in our text. Not only should we do something new, but we need to look at what God has, or the great things that God has done, because he has done great things already. Does he need to do anything in your life to prove that he is God? Is there anything else that you could think, well, if he just do this one thing, right? Is that where you're at? Or can we look and see what God has done? God has done great things. In our text, the Lord lists a few things that he has done for the nation of Israel. He made paths through the water more than once. He has wiped out entire armies. He brought about a worldwide flood. He has quenched fires. He has crushed kings. He has provided for the needy. He has covered the naked. He has sheltered the homeless. He has guided the helpless. He has consoled the weary. And all of that was just on a Tuesday. I mean, what has God not done? Do you get the idea? You know, it is always good to remember what he has done for us. And maybe not even done for us, but what he has done around us. Because there's many times that he does a lot of good things that don't affect me personally, but I'm sure glad that he's done them for other people. And so he's done things around us. However, it should not stop there. And the Lord knows how humans can get. And he doesn't want us to just stop and reflect on the past, because we can do that, and we are very good at doing that. And it's good as it is for us to talk about what God has done, let's not put any limitations on him. Right? We always like to talk about the good old days, the things that have happened in the past, the way it used to be. Because you know what happens? When we get caught living in the past, we'll miss what's happening right in front of us. Oh, those good old days. What just happened? Oh, remember how it used? Oh, no, I didn't see that. God reminds us in this text, before he says, I'm going to do something new, he says, you know, maybe the greatest, the parting of the Red Sea. I have dried up the waters. I have separated the waters. He's done this many times throughout Scripture. He reminds them that, is that an event that is worth remembering? Yes, but don't live there. We pick too many things and we make the events so great and honorable that we forget to honor them by living them out. Don't get so caught up in reflecting on the past or we're going to miss what takes place right in front of us right now. So not only has God has done great things, I suggest, the prophet suggests here that God is doing great things. That God is doing great things. How many of you here this morning, matter of fact, how many of you before you even got up this morning were breathing? Right? Steve, not sure? What? Okay. He had to look at Leslie like, I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, yeah. And so even before we were conscious to the world, right, we have gifts that God is doing for us, doing in us right now. He is doing great things. There's so many in the world that want to chalk what God is doing up to circumstance. Up to, well, that's just the way it is. I'm pretty sure 2,000 years ago, the Lord knew that today was going to be a little icy. Because not only has he done great things, he is doing great things. And we look at that and we say, well, what's so great about that? Well, what isn't great? And see, that's where we evaluate greatness differently than what God does. That he controls the weather? No, some things God will do on his own. And some things he will allow for us to be engaged in. Right? just for example. We had several guys take stuff down to the tornado victims there in Kentucky. Did God do that? Oh, you saw God do that? You saw the hands and feet of Jesus? Yeah, you did. But how did he do that? Right? Through the Christians. Through those that did things in his name. See, there's sometimes God wants and needs, well, God never needs our help, but as I said, he allows for us to be involved. It's like planning for camp, right? Once camp week gets here, I always tell everybody at camp, I don't need to do anything because you guys are the ones that are doing it all. See, God kind of plans things out and don't suggest, always compare yourself to God. No, that's not what I'm doing, okay? I'm just saying that sometimes we do get to be engaged in the activities that the Lord wants for us to carry those things out. So we look at God is doing great things. And I got thinking about this on, I don't even know what, the last day of the year, was that Friday? And with the lifespan of individuals. So is it a great thing that we have those that overcome great odds to still be with us? Is that the great work of God? Yeah. But what about the ones that got to go home? Isn't that pretty great? You know, as we look at, and what I guess I want for us to do is, so when we consider to do something great or we consider to do something new, is to reevaluate what those things are. You know, doing something new may mean doing something that you've done 1,000 times before, but do it now with a fresh perspective. Do it now with a different attitude. And we might see how things change. We need to take a look around when we talk about what of God doing great things. Because if you put your head down and only look to right in front of you, you're going to miss out on a whole lot. But take a look around. And I'm not talking about, you know, over your shoulder and look to the other side of the building. We're talking even farther than that. Look within your own heart. And do something new that you haven't done before this year. Derek mentioned, you know, if you say you can't, you've already succeeded in not doing it. Talking in his class. Both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over our nation's deserts. Got to see both when we were out in Arizona. You could see big old vultures flying around, and then you could also see little bitty hummingbirds. A vulture sees what is dead. What is the rotting? What is the decaying meat? The vulture sees that because guess what he's looking for? He's looking for the dead. He's looking for the rotting. He's looking for the decaying. They thrive on that kind of a diet. But hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of the dead animals. Instead, they look to the colorful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures live on what was. They live in the past, They fill themselves with what is dead and gone, but hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. But the interesting thing is that we dare not overlook is the vulture and the hummingbird both find exactly what they're looking for. And truth be known, we all do. You want to come to church? You want to walk in and find some complaint, something to complain about, something to talk bad and look down upon? Guess what? This room is full of people and you're going to find it. But you come here looking for encouragement. You come here looking to be uplifted. You come here looking to praise the Lord. Guess what? You're going to find it. What are you looking for? They're both out there. What are we looking for? I'd like for you just to think of this for a moment. Can you envision a stronger body of Christ? Elders, myself, isn't that what we pray for here at Harlan? We'd love to see the numbers grow. Don't overlook that at all by any means. We still want to bring new and lost souls in. However, we would love to see each and every one of you grow stronger. And you know what that means? I know what that means. They think we're weak. No, that means we want you to be stronger. I was in class the other night, George mentioned the strongman competitions, right? Is anybody going to walk up to them and say they're not strong? No, but they're going to say, I want to be stronger. My name is Magnus Vermagnuson, right? I want to be stronger. They want to be stronger. We're not saying you're weak. We're just saying, youth, we want you to be stronger. We're just saying, parents, we want you to be stronger. We're just saying, elderly ones, we want you to be stronger. Can you envision a stronger body for Christ? Can you perceive new Christians? We've had several people through the years and, you know, teach their own. I'm not saying it's good, negative, bad, positive, whatever. But they'll say, well, there's just too many people there. I don't know anybody. Well, imagine if we all went out and converted someone this week, and when we come back next Sunday, the congregation is twice the size. How would you feel then? No, seriously, how would you feel? Oh, my goodness, I don't know anybody anymore. That is terrible. God forbid all these new people in the church. Oh, my goodness. Just sick. What happened to the good old small group we used to have? Do you hear that? Why does that, and we don't say it, but that's the logical thinking we have in the church. You know, somebody came in the other day. What was their name? Who were they? You've got as much right to talk to them as I do. Go talk to them and let them know you're glad they're here. Can we perceive new Christians? I mean, does the thought even cross our mind? Matter of fact, if that thought doesn't cross, if we can't imagine a congregation with new Christians, we got problems. Can you imagine a people that loved Jesus more than all else? What's he suggesting? I don't love Jesus? That's not what I said. I venture to say everyone here loves Jesus. What my goal to help you to do is to love Jesus more than anything else. Now, there's a difference. There is a difference. like the difference between knowing about Jesus and actually knowing Jesus. I think everybody in here knows about Jesus. But how many in here actually know Jesus? Is it good to remember the things that have happened? It is good to recognize what is happening around us right now. However, the Lord says in this text, forget the past and focus on what is going to happen right now. What's going to happen right in front of your eyes. In other words, what he's having Isaiah tell the people is, it's good to remember what God has done. It's exciting to look at what God is doing. But tell me about your plans, because I'm going to tell you about mine, the Lord says. I am going to do something new. And I'm going to do it right here in front of your eyes. And that's a reminder to us that God will continue to do good things. In our text, verse 19, it says, behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? The King James Version and the New King James Version says, shall you not know it? In other words, you're going to know what's going on. Church, do you believe this? Do we think that God can, that God will, that God is doing things? That we're going to look back, if he tarries, if we're still here in 2023, and say, do you remember when we used to just think this? Or when we were limited by our sight, our earthly vision on what he could do? Again, from our text, Isaiah shares God's message. I will make every roadway in the wilderness, make a roadway in the wilderness. I'm going to put desert or rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I will give water into the wilderness and rivers into the desert to give drink by my chosen people. Isaiah reminds us that God is talking to a people that are in captivity. Aren't we so thankful that we here in the United States of America are a free people? Are we free? Remember that when the credit card bill comes in, right? Remember that when you pay your property taxes, right? Remember, we don't own land, we just rent it. But we consider ourselves free. He's talking to a people that are wrapped up in Babylonian captivity. Church, we may have been set free from sin, but we still let the world play the role of the parole officer in our life. Did you listen to that? We may be free, but we still let the world play the role of the parole officer in our life. So are we really free? No, because we let the world keep a chain on us. We let them tell us what's going on. Jesus says, I will set you free. Jesus says, the truth will set you free. We are free, but we choose to remain under the restraint of the pleasures and the joys of this world. Jesus wants to set us completely free. One that is imprisoned behind bars of this world cannot begin to explain to others the reality of being free. Maybe the reason we have the trouble of explaining to the world about freedom is because we haven't truly experienced it ourselves. The Lord has cleared the path for us. He says He's going to make a roadway. He has given us the drink of living water. He has made it that all creation praises His name. Remember, even if these people will not cry out, these stones will. He has done all this so that we, the obedient chosen children of His, will declare His praise. Remember earlier when I said some things God will do on His own and some things He will allow for us to be able to be engaged in that? The Lord does want for us to be prepared. And that many times depends on how involved we are or that we can be. Are you one in the church that says, there's just nothing for me to do? There's just nothing that can be done by me. There's just nothing there for me to do. Well, you know what? I think that is someone who's crying out saying, I have not prepared myself. And they're really trying to just pass the buck. Because if you prepare yourself, you would be surprised at all the opportunities you have to serve in the body of Christ. If you don't prepare yourself, again, next year at this time, if we're allowed to be here, we'll say, hear the same words, I just don't know that there's anything that I can do. We need to be prepared. The Lord wants for us to be prepared. The Lord is giving us each day as a time to get ready to be prepared. As Matt shared this morning with his opening devotion, the Lord's not expecting for you to be a Bible scholar tomorrow, but He does hope that you work at it today. To get ready to be involved in things that you've never seen before. Wouldn't it be great if we had an outreach ministry that reached the needs of all the people in the town of Harlan? I mean, from drug addicts to clothes to food to learning education, to having all sorts of different opportunities. Maybe the reason we don't is because the congregation here hasn't prepared themselves for that. I don't know. Do you know? All I know is if we're not prepared, then don't expect for great things to happen. Don't expect for us to be engaged in the work of God. He's given us time to get ready, time to be involved in something like you've never seen before, to do things that you have never done. Do something new. But you know, I've been doing this for years. Yeah, great. Love it. Now do something new. Do things you've never done before. Maybe that'll mean you'll need to go places you've never gone before. Maybe that means you'll need to talk to souls that you've never talked to before. I was typing that up. I'm like, maybe we need to talk to people. But you know what? I don't think we have a problem talking to people. Do we? I don't think we do generally. Right? Even somebody across from you at the pump at the gas station, you have no idea who they are, you at least say, how's it going? Hi. Right? And you don't even know who they are because they're people. And so I went back and I retyped the word in, souls. Now all of a sudden when we look at somebody, look past the person and see the soul that is going to live somewhere for all eternity. Now, I encourage you, maybe it doesn't have to be this week, but don't put it off too long. Talk to a soul that you've never talked to before about Jesus. You want to do something new? Here's your opportunity. The Lord wants to do something new. He can do it on his own. He could do miraculous things. He could pick his son out of heaven and send him here to this earth to come live a perfect life and then die for all of mankind. Who would follow him then? Right? I'm telling you, he doesn't have to do anything new. He's already done it all. But church, it's high time that we do something new. So the question is this morning as we come to a close, will you let him do something new in you, in me, in you guys? I thought it was interesting the other night, Dylan said that their largest group they've had was 40 people. Wouldn't that be exciting if next year they said, well, we're a little disappointed. The largest group we had this year were 80 kids. And they ended up having to split. The junior high gets a new youth loft over here, and the high school gets a youth loft over here. What a bummer! Right? Right, guys? Wouldn't that be terrible? Oh, yeah, Isaac's like, oh. Right? But we get excited thinking about that. But I guess what I want to do is use this as a pep rally message. Stop thinking. Let's do something. Let's do something new. There's a plan of salvation that's given that if you have not done it, I encourage you to do something new. Be obedient to the plan of salvation. John 8:24, it says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That you need to repent of your sin. Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That if you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, in Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. That you need to be immersed. Have your sins washed away. Well, I've never done anything like that before, preacher. Let's do something new. Or maybe I've done it before, preacher, but I don't know if it took. Well, it's not a matter of if it took or not. It's a matter of what your mind says, what your heart says, with what is it giving you a clear conscience between you and God. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And then to be faithful unto death. Maybe you've already lived most of your life. A lot of us already have. Live most of our life. But how about living the rest of your life for Jesus Christ? Whether that's one day or 1,000 years, let's live for him. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation here this morning? Go do something new.